This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a joy it is to gather with all of you, the beloved community, in worship together this morning. It's my joy to welcome you, whether you're here in the sanctuary or joining us online. The Spirit of Christ connects us together in this time. And I would invite you to take a moment to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there is a registration pad at the end of each row that you can pass down and back again. And online, there's a link you can place in your browser and register that way. Be sure and notice the names of the friends sitting on the row with you, and if there's a name you don't recognize, there's an opportunity to make a new connection this morning. I have a few announcements for us as we gather. Our Art Inclusion Committee has a table in Reed Hall. This is the last opportunity we will have to vote for the artist that we want to invite to come and do a commissioned piece for us as a congregation. So we'd love your input, so be sure and stop by that table in Reed Hall on your way out. Tomorrow, our nation will be celebrating the Martin Luther King holiday. The church offices will be closed, and we invite you, weather permitting, to take part in this celebration that our city is putting on. A group will gather at 9 a.m. in front of Jefferson Street Baptist Church for a march toward the Gentry Center at Tennessee State University, where at 10 o'clock there will be a convocation, and I've been for the past few years, and it is always wonderfully inspiring, and hopefully we can have a good showing there, again, weather permitting. Next Sunday, during the Sunday School Hour, in McWhirter Hall, there will be an interest meeting for any adults who would like to participate, perhaps, in a small group in the upcoming year. If you just want to find out more, that's a good way to do that. So that will be at 10 o'clock next Sunday in McWhirter Hall. And then that afternoon at 5 p.m. next Sunday from 5 to 8, Fletcher Foster is going to be hosting a gathering of folks in our congregation who are part of the LGBTQ community to begin building a stronger support network and get to know one another. So there's more information and detail about that in your bulletin. So again, that's next Sunday at 5. I was telling someone prior to the service, this is one of my favorite services of worship. I say that a lot, but this one really is very special. This is the day when we celebrate the sacrament of baptism, when we remember what baptism is all about. We hear the story of Jesus' baptism and are reminded that we are God's beloved children. So let us open ourselves to hear once again that good news that changes us forever.
Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. God of limitless love, we have come to know and believe the love you have for us. We gather to be reminded of our belonging found within your story of grace. Let us worship with gladness, trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting. Let us make our confession with the confidence of God's beloved children. God of mercy, we recognize that we have failed to be the church at times. Forgive us for the ways we have forgotten to live according to the example of Christ. Lead us to live lives that are fully focused on love and forgiveness. Grant us the wisdom to live into our baptismal vows. May our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness be used for your glory. O God of mercy, lead us on our journey. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of Christ's peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with the leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to have a moment with the children. If you are here in the sanctuary and you want to come join me up here, I'd love to see you. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. And we'll have a few minutes together. Good to see you this morning. What do you think it's going to snow? You think?
I saw snow clouds on the way. You saw snow clouds on the way?
Yay! I do like some snow. We'll find out. Yeah, that's a good question. Why is there a fountain? Because today we're talking about baptism, and baptism has water. So we wanted to hear and to see the water during the whole service today. Well, I'm so glad to see you this morning. Today we are talking about baptism, and we just heard the story about when Jesus was baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, there was a voice from heaven that said, "You are my beloved." Now, beloved is a word we might not use very much. But what it means is you are loved. And we want you to know, as you grow up in this church, that you are loved no matter what. God loves you and your church family loves you. Sometimes things make us feel bad about ourselves, like maybe we got in trouble for doing something we shouldn't have, or maybe we look over at a friend who's drawing a picture and we think, oh, I can't draw as well as that person. You know, sometimes we just feel bad about ourselves. If that happens, I want you to do this for me. I want you to put your right hand on your heart and just say, "I am beloved. I am beloved." Sometimes we grown-ups need to do that too. Because we get to thinking we're not good enough, we're not thin enough, we're not successful enough. So I want to invite you, when those voices start saying that, to put your hand over your heart and say, "I am beloved." Sometimes also there are people, maybe people in our class or people in our families or somebody who hurts our feelings or who isn't acting right or somebody that we're mad at. It's also important to remember they're beloved too, that God loves them too. So next time you find yourself sort of angry or frustrated with somebody, maybe a baby sister or somebody, put your left hand like this and say, "You are beloved. You are beloved. You are beloved." So I am beloved and you are beloved. And because of God's love, we are connected. Let's pray. God, we learn in this church that you love everyone unconditionally. That means us. You love us, and you love everybody. Even when it's hard to get along sometimes, when it's hard to love each other, thank you for this church family where we can come and be reminded that your love is big enough to hold everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, beloveds, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to children's church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. Thanks for listening. Did I turn my mic? There we are. For the past few weeks, we have been hearing stories about Jesus' birth and Jesus' childhood. The season of Advent led us into the stories of Jesus' birth. We heard Mary's song as she was waiting to give birth to Jesus. Then we heard the story on Christmas Eve of the shepherds coming to visit the manger. And last Sunday, we followed the Magi to that home in Bethlehem where Jesus was a child. But this morning, we open the Gospel of Mark. Mark is going to be our go-to gospel for most of 2024. There will be some Sundays, like next Sunday, when we dip into John or some other gospels. But for the most part, Mark is leading us through this year. So as I said last week, I would encourage you to read the Gospel of Mark again and again throughout this year. When the curtains open on the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is fully an adult. And we see him standing in line with a bunch of other people waiting to be baptized. Now, some will ask, why did Jesus need to be baptized? If we understand him to be the Son of God, to be the one who was without sin, why would he submit to a baptism of John the Baptist? John was preaching a baptism of repentance from sin, a baptism of forgiveness. So why would Jesus choose to take part in that? Well, that is a huge question about which many sermons have been preached and dissertations have been written. But one of the reasons I believe Jesus did that was as a sign that he's one of us. He's throwing in his lot with humankind. I mean, it would have been a different story if Jesus had shown up on the banks of the river and said, "Excuse me, I'm the Messiah. Excuse me, John, you can move on. Everybody start listening to me." Or if he cut in line to say, "Y'all need to get behind me because I am the Son of God." But he didn't do that. He lived into those words of Paul from the book of Philippians. He didn't use his status as the Son of God to exploit others. Instead, he emptied himself, becoming one of them and one of us. So we see in the moment of his baptism, all humankind, our collectiveness, lived out in Jesus. Now, he did get a special moment, though. Yes, he was one in the crowd, but when he came up out of those waters of baptism, the heavens were torn open and a dove, the Holy Spirit like a dove, descended upon him. Now, the different gospels give different accounts of what this was like and who said what to whom, but in Mark's gospel, it is a voice speaking to Jesus. It is as if the voice of God is whispering in Jesus' ear, "You are my son, the beloved, and I take such delight in you." Now remember, this is before Jesus has even said a word in Mark's gospel. He hasn't healed anyone who was sick. He hasn't cast out any demons. He hasn't preached his first sermon. He hasn't done anything. He just is who he is. And the voice of God proclaims love for Jesus and delight in who he is. And it's a unique message for him. And yet, what we see in Jesus' baptism is true about baptism for all of us. That in the waters of baptism, God is saying to you and to me by name, in our uniqueness, "I see you. I love you. I take delight in you." Not because of what you've done or what you haven't done. Not because you have earned favor in my sight, but just because that's who I am and that's who you are. And ours is a relationship of love. That's one of the reasons that in the United Methodist Church we baptize infants, because they haven't done anything yet. And yet we as a church do this sacrament to name and recognize what is already true. That child is a beloved child of God, created in the image of God. And there's nothing that child can do ever to lose that love or to be let go by God or to forever lose the image of God within them. So today we celebrate the sacrament of baptism and what it means for us. And I think I say it every year, but we cannot say it enough. We need to say it every day and every Sunday, that what we receive in the sacrament of baptism is the message and the truth that we are beloved by God. That you are a beloved child of God, and you are a beloved child of God, and you are a beloved child of God, and you are a beloved child of God. You always have been, and you always will be. And I think so much of the suffering and pain and violence in our world is a result of the brokenness in us that somehow cannot receive or has not received that message. I think the most arrogant bullies around us are those who are hiding a deep sense of insecurity and unworthiness. I think wars are fought by people who don't feel loved. And so let this be a place where you hear that again and again and again, and you never have to doubt that you are loved by God. And so is everyone else. God loves you uniquely for who you are, and God loves each human being uniquely because of who they are. Every person ever born on the earth was created in the image of God. And that means that the man sitting in solitary confinement at Riverbend Prison right now because he started a fight yesterday is my brother. And the woman who hasn't woken up yet because she took too many drugs last night and is lying on the floor is my sister. And the child who goes to school hungry tomorrow and goes home hungry tomorrow is my child. And the legislators who want to cut off the funding for those schools so that those children will have more food are my brothers and sisters and siblings. The truth is, in the waters of baptism, we are reminded that we're all in this together. That we are all one family, we are all connected, that there's just a thin veil, and if it were ever to lift, we would see the shining image of God in each and every one, the belovedness of each and every one. And yet, I forget that. Why do I forget that? Why do I look at my brother, my sister, my neighbor, my sibling, and forget that they are just as loved by God as I am, that they matter to God just as much as I do? Why do I look on others with contempt? Why do I want to exclude others so that I feel more included? Why do we forget? I think the world wants us to forget. I think the world wants us to forget that we are deeply connected to one another, that we belong to each other, that we're responsible for each other, that God loves all of us unconditionally, equally. That's why in our baptismal vows, we are called to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, which would try to tell us that we are separate and against one another, that there's not enough for all of us to share in God's love and grace. That's why we are called to claim the freedom and power God gives us, to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. For that injustice is a result of our belief that we're not all children of God. So, my friends, this morning, we are going to come to the waters of baptism. And we're going to be invited to come and take a glass bead from the waters as a reminder of what baptism is all about. And I hope that as you come forward and you take that bead and you feel that water dripping down your hand, that you will feel once again the depth of God's love for you. And it's never going away. And it is complete and perfect. And God delights in you. And I hope as those waters are dripping down your hand, you will feel that deep, abiding connection with all humankind, that you will recognize your connectedness and my connectedness to each person walking the earth in this moment, in the past or the future, and that together we will recommit ourselves to building that beloved community that Dr. King talked so eloquently about, where the kingdom of heaven is known on earth, where the abundance and belonging of God's kingdom is made possible here on earth. May this be a place where we can recommit ourselves to that kind of love, because God loves you and God loves me. And God loves everyone unconditionally. Amen. at the waters. We make our way to the river alongside all of those others who were so hungry and so thirsty for love. We invite you in this liturgy, if you have been baptized, to recognize that you are reaffirming the vows of your baptism and re-immersing yourself in the waters of baptism. If you have not been baptized, one of us pastors would love to talk with you about that and the deeper meaning of that, and invite you to consider taking part in that sacrament. If you have not been baptized, however, you are still welcome to come forward and take a bead as a reminder of God's love for you, for this is all about God's grace for us. Will you stand in body or in spirit as you are able as we prepare to renew these, our baptismal vows? My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church.
We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation and given new birth through the water and the Spirit.
All of this is God's gift,
offered to us without price.
Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do.
You may be seated. This is the water on which God breathed and the Spirit brooded when God began creating the stars, the planets, the earth, and all its creatures.
This is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree whose branches bore the fruit we were to taste.
This water covered the earth and bore up the ark in the days of Noah.
This is the water that opened at Moses' command when God led God's people out of slavery. This is the water by which Miriam and the women danced to the rhythms of liberation.
These are the salty tears King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst sin. These are the tears he shed when he pleaded God for forgiveness and got it.
These are the waters of Babylon by which our ancestors sat down and wept, their harps and tongues silent for homesickness.
Out of this water, John pulled a stunned Jesus in the River Jordan, the day they saw the dove and heard from deep within the voice that said, "You are my beloved. In you, my heart sings for joy."
This is the water dripping from the nets of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, when a stranger walked up and said to them, "Follow me."
This is the water that became wine at a wedding in Cana.
Peter sauntered on this water, then sank, and then was rescued, setting the pattern of a disciple's life.
This is the spittle that came from his mouth when he restored hearing to those who could not hear, when he restored sight to those who could not see.
These are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
This is the sink that Pilate used to wash his hands when he passed the death sentence.
These are the wet faces of the women whose grief at the cross could not be quenched.
This is the dew on the grass of a garden where Mary Magdalene stood early on Easter morning as she ran to embrace her risen Lord.
This is the water that reminds us who we are and whose we are. Waters that Christians for generations have received, that has shaped them and called them to turn outward to the world to proclaim God's unconditional love for all people. These are the waters to which each one of us is invited today. We invite you to come forward as you feel led. We'll have three stations here, one in the center and two at the corners of the altar rails. You can come up the center aisle or the side aisles, however you would like. And I'll be serving the choir. If you will make your way around that way, I'll have the beads for you. As you come, you'll be invited to take a bead. And if you want to kneel at the altar rail and pray and recommit yourself to a life of following Jesus as a baptized Christian, or whatever prayers you need to pray this day, you are invited to do that. I'll also be making my way around the sanctuary. If you're unable or choose not to come forward, I will bring one to you. My friends, you are, each and every one, God's beloved. Mm-hmm. We are all together God's beloved. Let us come forward and remember.
As we respond to the word spoken to us today, I invite you to please stand. No, I'm not going to invite you to stand. My apologies. Please be seated. There's something in here that is usually not in here, or not in here that is. As we come to our time of prayer, I want to invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, I want to invite you to fill out one of the gray cards that are in the pew racks in front of you, or sign on to our website and click the contact us and let us know how we can pray for you. I want to invite you to take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your hearts throughout the week. Today, we want to specifically lift up the family and friends of Skip Malone as they mourn his passing this weekend. Plans for a service of remembrance will be announced as they are being put together. We lift up Jennifer Fox, Lucy Fox, and family as they mourn the death of Jennifer's father, William Fox, on January 4th. His funeral will take place January 21st in Hendersonville. And we lift up sympathies to the family and friends of Sandra, Kara Earthman Tucker, and Will Earthman as they mourn the death of Bill Earthman on Sunday, January 7th. The memorial service will be held here in the sanctuary on Friday, January 19th at 1 p.m. with visitation beginning at 11 in Reed Hall. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. God, today we give thanks to you for your voice that speaks to us of our chosenness. In our scripture today, we heard your voice speak words of acceptance, of calling, of hope, of encouragement, and of love. With that statement, Jesus was empowered to live fully devoted to the work of restoration, of preaching the good news of God's present kingdom, and of living a sacrificial life for all humanity. And it is with similar words that you call us into our baptism. You choose us each day and speak words of love and affirmation into our lives, calling to us to recognize the grace you offer and to live into that by offering it to the world around us. As we remember our baptisms or recognize our call to come to the waters and be renewed, may we live as Jesus did. May our chosenness change us. May the cleansing we experience make us new people, ready to shine anew with the promise and warmth of a new day's sunrise. And as we give thanks today, we desire to offer all of ourselves to you, O God. We trust you today, and we open our hearts to you by sharing in word as well as in silence the parts of our lives that keep us awake at night and cause us to question, as well as those things that help us to sleep soundly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us today and every day, for always being attentive to us, for calling to us from the waters of baptism to release the grip we have on our lives and live trusting in your grace that never ends. And it is with that trust that we now pray as a unified people the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to gather your gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options on the screen, while those of you here in the sanctuary will receive plates as they're passed down the aisle. May we give with joy to the God who is so generous to us.
And now we have made our promises to God to follow where God leads. We have heard such good news today of the unending, unconditional, all-inclusive love of God. There's a world beyond these walls hungry to hear that good news. So go forth to follow Christ and spread the gospel.